It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on this 19th day of May, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes this lovely afternoon. If you'd like to listen live between the hours of 5 and 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, we're right here. And if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, frenzied extravaganza that is The Horn chat room, then by Jove, just run on over and click on the chat room at headon.live. And, you know, if you've never done it before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. You know, the chat room's free, of course. And you'll be immediately greeted by longtime inveterate... You'll immediately be greeted by early arrivers Roger in Oregon and Squeaky, and capably moderated by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve, from Georgistan. We're going to have a fine time in there this evening. Yep. Hi, I'm Robin, and every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, because you, in fact, are the people, this community, that keeps this little ongoing attempt at independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting going. And for that, I am eternally grateful, because it means that there's a place for us to come and talk where we aren't gate-kept, and we aren't put on a 30-second clock when people come on the program, and that's none of that. You know, enough about you. Let's talk about me. I'm Rush Limbaugh, and I'm dead, and I'm still wondering. No, we carry on conversations here that are freighted with meaning, and are. Well, unlike just about any other conversation you're going to hear anywhere else in terms of liberal progressive talk or conversation, as we describe it here. So thanks go out to our 19th day of the month subscribers. That means, and thank you yesterday evening, thank you very kindly to our pal Lila. Lila, thank you so much. Thank you to Cecilia. Thank you to Sharon. Thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. Thank you to Clayton. And thank you to Charles. Thank you very much. Thanks, as ever, to Joey and Giraffe for the challenges. What does that mean? It means that we are, we're just a little over $1,000 behind in fundraising. And the more we can catch up, the better off we are. We are at midweek and $1,000 in the hole because, let's see, Monday, Tuesday, yeah. We're about, so like 1,025, which means that we've got $125 to finish to catch up with fundraising for last week. And we're halfway into this one. Lassie, go find the sheriff. It's cold in this hole, and it's very deep, and there's water gathering around my ankles, Lassie. No, Lassie, no, don't. Aw, don't bring me your whoopee. No, go get the sheriff, Lassie.
That bit was a lot more funny back when we had when we had reverb. I could, because I could be doing it. Yeah.
Jeremy in Vermont. If we start a fundraising campaign right now and raise enough dead presidents, can Rush come back to the air? God, I miss him. I know. It's just not the same without Rush Limbaugh to kick around anymore. Wait a minute, we're still kicking him around. He's still serving his purpose. Rush update, by the way, courtesy of Lee in New York. He's been dead for 91 days, and he's still dead and staying that way. Got a long way to go to ever catch up with Generalissimo Francisco Franco. In fact, I think it's mathematically impossible that in the scope of eternity he can ever catch up with Generalissimo Francisco Franco, who, by the way, is still dead. And so, of course, is old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan. They got a veritable reverse pineapple brigade going on down in perdition of dead fascists and dead Republicans and dead, dead religion industry hustlers like, you know, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. Isn't it handy that there's no such thing as hell? Because this is, of course, prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and well, we will get to the prayer meeting stuff, I hope, at some point, because we're getting perilously close to reopening and having in-person services in our fake, phony baloney, not real, imaginary cathedral of common sense. But then again, our deity, the goddess of irony, is no less fake or phony than any other deity, so we've got that going for us. Yes, we do. That having been said, we'll try to raise as much as we possibly can this evening, trying to stave off some sort of horrifying, monumental Friday on the front porch community-made miracle. Ralph's just jumped in and said, I'm offering a $50 challenge. Lassie, it's the Lassie Please Come Back Challenge. Lassie! That's a great... Please... Yeah, because it's not quite... Come back, Shane! Shane! No. And, you know, last night when we were talking... Well, it's funny. I think the movie Shane, you know, 1950s, I think it probably had a broader meaning for people watching it the first time when the movie first came out. I'm not talking about broader meaning in terms of the fact that I think they had to dig a trench for the women to walk in so that it wouldn't point out the fact that Alan Ladd was a freaking hobbit. I mean, he was like 2.5 feet tall, a tiny little guy. But he played Shane so brilliantly. No, the idea of when Steve in New York and I were talking about the idea of aggression versus self-defense, you know, that's all encapsulated in the scene with Jack Palance, where the poor old sheep herder is there in town, and Jack Palance throws a gun on the ground and says, pick up the gun. Pick up the gun.
Mister, I don't want no fight with you.
Pick up the gun.
Mister, no, you're going to shoot me the minute I touch.
I said, pick up the gun.
And so the minute he picks up the gun, Jack Palance shoots him and says,
see, you all said he had a gun.
And that's the very essence of a faked-up, frauded-up, rubed-up, dummied-up, ginned-up a claim of self-defense. In point of fact, the Second World War began the invasion of Poland with a Nazi German claim that, in fact, it was the Poles that had attacked the Germans. It had something to do with a radio transmitting station or something. The Poles came in and overran us.
The Poles came in and overran us.
Because I can still do that voice. It was, of course, untrue, but that created enough casus belli for the Third Reich to claim that they had to invade Poland to stop the imminent threat of other radio stations being overrun or the integrity of the German borders being violated by the marauding hordes of horse-mounted Polish cavalry that were barely even capable of being called a viable 19th century fighting force. Not to take anything away from the bravery of the Poles, my God, no. But bullshit claims of self-defense. That's just that. What's that, Scott, in San Diego? Oh, dear, did Jesus fall down the well again? P.S., let's not bring Rush back. I recall an account or two in the New Testament about when the grieving relatives of Lazarus begged the Lord to raise him from the dead, whereupon Jesus cautioned them, saying, He's been dead three days, and yea, verily, he stinketh. How long Rush has been the main entree at the worm buffet? He by now must be stinkingeth greatly. Yea, verily. And probably even worse because of the copious volume of urine soaking his grave. Right, yeah. Thanks for that, Scott. But let's get the program going the way the program often, most every day begins. Robin, some sobering thoughts. Jeffrey is upset.
Although I did find Dave and the Blind funny and amusing last night, there were no Long Islands last night. With Richard being in the state he is in, it is all pretty sobering, and Joey and I believe we should just stay sober during the final days. However, the goddess of irony did strike again as Richard's son, Jersey Jay, showed up at his father's condo with $200 worth of alcohol, including gin, rum, vodka, triple sec, and some tequila, all the ingredients for a Long Island iced tea. That was one of his ways of showing appreciation for all our efforts over these most trying of days. However, I could not help but think of Rush Limbaugh last night, as the nurse from hospice walked in with more opiates and morphine than old Rushvo Limp Dick Limbaugh could shake his cracker crack pipe at with half his insane brain tied behind his back. By the way, is old Rushvo still dead? 91 days and counting, Giraffe. Yes, Brump Limbaugh is still dead. And yesterday was his 3-month anniversary. Dead-iversary. Corpse-iversary? I don't know. On this day in 1913, California Governor Hiram Johnson signed the Webb-Hartley Law prohibiting ineligible aliens from owning farmland, a measure that basically targeted Asian immigrants.
Yes, and the good Governor Hiram Johnson was true to his name because he later stated, no land for the ineligibles, and Governor Hiram Johnson said, we ain't Hiram either. As a tall, upstanding giraffe, I do not like this Hiram character as he is not good enough to hire in his name.
You tell him, Giraffe.
Well, speaking of governors and farmland, then there's this Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, who's just drunk with power. DeWine proudly posed last week for the Ohio Tourism Day photo, highlighting the Lake Erie shoreline's contributions to the state's $46 billion a year tourist industry. The governor touted Lake Erie as a tourism hotspot that has a great economic impact on the state, not to mention a great source of drinking water. Meanwhile, back at the farm ranch, DeWine's administration is considering permits for 10 new CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, that are destined to pollute Lake Erie with algae blooms and phosphorus, which would do great damage to the tourist mecca that is Lake Erie. Oh, DeWine, please get a spine as long as mine and start making some better policy.
I think Jeffrey's right. I guess the question has to be asked, does this state have a prayer on this prayer meeting Wednesday with all these fucked-up Republicans just continuing to make stupid, inconsistent policy decisions? On this day in 1920, 10 people were killed in a gun battle between coal miners who were led by a local police chief. Yep. And a group of private security guards. I think they were Pinkertons. No, Joey, they were not Pinkertons. They were members of the Baldwin Felts Detective Agency, referred to by the people whom they terrorized as Baldwin thugs. They were hired to evict the miners for joining a union in Matewan, West Virginia. A little company town. Well, it wasn't a company town. That's the thing. Matewan was not a company town. Matewan was an independent municipality. And that's why Sid Hatfield was able to refuse to enforce the orders of eviction with which he was presented by the Baldwin thugs. Joey continues, I can just hear Tennessee Ernie Ford singing, I owe my soul to the company store. Eventually, Mother Jones got involved in this union fight. Bless her heart, she was a good soul. Oh, she was involved long before Matewan even happened, Joey. Sadly to think, the aforementioned Mother Jones, with all her efforts and all of the bloodshed, unions have such little impact on today's workers. Well, next August, because this was a very, very bloody time in West Virginia 100 years ago. My grandfather and grandmother must have been scared out of their minds. He was a coal miner, and she was pregnant with their first child. Terrifying. Like I said, it was a bloody time, and among other things, a few months later, because the unrest was already profound, a few months later, a bunch of miners would take up arms, many of them First World War veterans, and they would march on Logan County, West Virginia, in order to try to liberate it. Mother Jones told them, having stood side by side with them, cheered them, inspired them, advised them, counseled them for years and years. She said, please, for God's sakes, don't take up arms. Don't engage in violence. Because if you do, the government of this state and the company will crush you like bugs. And now, 100 years on, people actually lionize the armed march on Logan as some sort of heroic act, when in fact exactly what Mother Jones told them was true. They got their asses handed to them. The union was crushed like a bug on hot pavement. Miners were tried and jailed. Others were killed. I mean, there was a treason trial out of this. And the only relief they ever got was when the American people had the good damn sense to elect Franklin Delano Roosevelt and a Democratic Congress, which put in place the National Labor Relations Act. The need for it was made more profound by what happened at Blair Mountain, the Battle of Blair Mountain. But she was absolutely right. And despite the time she had spent, the days, weeks that she had spent in jail, the fact that her life was constantly at hazard, her boys, the miners, in the days leading up to the Battle of Blair Mountain, told her, old woman, you've lost your nerve. And she proved to have been right. So, that. Finally, it was on this day in 1962 that Marilyn Monroe sang a very seductive happy birthday to President John F. Kennedy in an incredible dress that would later sell for $1.26 million in 1999. Ironically, on this very same day in 1994, the president's wife, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, would die only 64 years young of lymphoma. This has been Joey's Journal for the prayer meeting Wednesday, this 19th day of May, 2021, with Giraffe trying to sober up all the DeWino Republicans in Ohio, and there is therefore a $10 Sober Up the DeWinos challenge, so we have $60 in challenges on the table. That would knock out almost all of last Friday so that we could finally get started on this week. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. And thank you very kindly to our dear friend Don in British Columbia. It is very helpful indeed. Let me check here, because I'm still not getting notifications properly. Yes, they both. Thank you to Don, and thank you to Darlene in Connecticut. That means that both challenges are met. And then $40 to the good. So how's that work out? 120. Yay! We're done with fundraising for last week, and we have actually begun knocking out Monday. Thank you very much indeed. That takes us down to 970 bucks to go. Thank you. Thank you so very much. That's tremendously helpful. Indeed. What do you think? Ron and Raleigh asked, do you think those miners had the right to defend themselves, asking for a confused friend? Yeah, but they did not have a right to start the war. And they started the armed march on Logan. The shootout at Matewan is anything but a clear-cut case of self-defense. It's kind of like one of the awful Star Wars movies where did Kylo Ren shoot first, or did Han Solo? And the larger lesson out of that is there is seldom a situation in which violence is the right answer. I'm sorry. I'm just I'm anti-violence. I am. So as we jump into this Wednesday edition, we will hold off, I think, a little bit, if I'm capable, on some of the religious insanity news, because there's too much, semi-secular insanity news. I'll try to come back to it. But in terms of out in the real world, so to speak, there's some real Lulus. And one of the things I want to address, tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm not sure what the right or wrong answer is in this instance. All day long, and for the past couple of days, it was Boba Fett or Han Solo. I'm sorry, that was one on it. Was it Boba Fett or Han Solo who shot first? It was from the first movie at the cantina. Well, there's something with Kylo Ren and Han Solo. But never mind. Please, let's not. Yeah, it can be over $900, Randy, because we didn't finish Friday. And that's what we've been wiping out. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, you're right. Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, it's eight, not nine. Eight. Thank you. Math on the fly. What is it? 860? 860. There. All better, I hope. No, I want to talk a little bit about this, the idea of a bipartisan January 6th congressional commission to look into the whys and the wherefores of the insurrection that resulted in an attack on the capital of the United States of America. Okay? Because I've heard, we need a January 6th commission. We need a January 6th commission. And I don't try to take I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon or, you know, a rhymes with witch or anything. But one of the first things that occurred to me when I heard about it, started hearing about the idea of a January 6th commission, is that my memory carried me backwards. And I remembered the 9/11 commission. Oh, we've got to have a bipartisan commission to determine what happened on 9/11. We know how that played, don't we? Don't we? Do we all remember how people were brought before the 9/11 commission to give testimony but didn't have to take the oath to tell the truth so that no criminal penalty could attach for perjury or false swearing? Do you remember how Dim Leader only testified if he was would only testify if he was allowed to sit on Daddy Dick's lap so that Daddy Dick could reach behind him and get his arm up in there and work Dim Leader's mouth like the ventriloquist dummy, like the puppet that W was for Daddy Dick? Because I do. And so one of the things I wondered about is, you know, will people be put under oath with this thing? But now as I see, and so I questioned the usefulness of such a commission. But now that I now that I see how the Republican leadership is responding, I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, you know where I was on this. I felt like long time ago, from jump, I was pretty much hollering that what we need is a special prosecutor whose brief is to follow every last potential defendant that there was. You know, charge them all and let God sort them out. And not just the people who showed up on January 6th, but the people who funded, people who promoted it, the people who organized it, the people who planned it, the conspiracies they engaged in, all the way to the top, all the way to the fucking millionaires and billionaires, and to that the filthy, grifty family that was present, that was at that point in time present in the White House. And then I moderated my position and I said, okay, the feds seem to be doing a capable-ish job of sorting out the assholes, the people on the ground. But I still think we need a special prosecutor to look into the people at the top. And I think I'm still there. But investigations that are designed to lead to a prosecution are not, by definition, public. And so when I see stories talking about how Kevin McCarthy is scared to the point that he is, I mean, his bowels have turned to pure liquid, and he will oppose the vote for a January 6th commission. And Journalist Mitch McConnell, Law School Mitch, he's also on board with trying to do everything he can to obstruct a January 6th investigatory bipartisan commission in Congress. They have their talking points from Nitwit Nero on down. Nitwit Nero, you know, Kevin McCarthy, Moscow Mitch. And we can't be investigating January 6th unless the commission also has the ability to investigate them rampaging Negroes from last year. Because, of course, if we if you allow that into the January 6th commission, then it will never go anywhere at all, and the Republicans will get to spend all the commission's time on it. Yeah, but black people, what about the BLM fascists and the Antifa fascists? Because apparently the leadership of the GQP, the Grand QAnon Party, the maggots, they're a little bit jangled, maybe a little nervous. Moscow Mitch announcing, after careful consideration, I've made the decision to oppose the House Democrats' slanted and unbalanced proposal for another commission to study the events of January 6th. Another commission? Another one? So there is, and there has been, and will continue to be no shortage of robust investigations by two separate branches of the federal government. It's not at all clear what new facts yet another commission could actually lay on top of existing efforts by law enforcement and Congress. House Democrats have handled this partisan effort in bad faith going right back to the beginning, from initially offering a laughably partisan starting point to continuing to insist on vast other features under the hood. Mitch, you've just been punked by the goddess of irony, because she made you say under the hood, buddy. You're the guy who posed in front of the devil's diaper happily
accepting an award from a bunch of Confederate sympathizers. I wouldn't be talking about no fucking hoods, okay? Just saying.
Under the hood that are designed to centralize control over the commission's process and its conclusions in Democratic hands.
Look, here's the bottom line.
The fact of the matter is, he's scared shitless. Because he has members of his caucus that was done photographed holding their fist up in the air, urging the rioters on like they was a storming of the Bastille.
You know, in Bugs Bunny, in the cartoon that, with Napoleon, where of course he got done up in drag as Josephine and went over to the jukebox and put the little French coins in and was looking for songs to play on the hit parade there on the jukebox was. Three coins in the Fontainebleau, but my particular favorite was Bastille Boogie. And so there was Josh Hawley with his fist in the air. You know, this ain't the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, and nobody's got their jackbooted on your freedom-loving neck, Josh. They had his fist in the air and a wave in the maggots on. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, you know, Kevin McCarthy's got something to worry about because apparently there were members of Congress who saw other members of Congress leading tours of people through the Capitol who shouldn't have been in the Capitol because the Capitol was closed to tours on January the 1st and the 2nd and the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th. Yeah.
On the other hand, Chinless Mitch said, "I support justice for any American who has broken the law."
Unless it was like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, or Josh Hawley, or Tommy the Tuber, or a constitutional scholar Mike Lee from Utah. Mm-hmm. And people began asking along the way, you know, how much does Donald Trump have on these fuckers? It's not that, I don't think Donald Trump's got it. The stuff that was hacked from the RNC at the same time the DNC was hacked back in 2016, they're the ones that have something on them. Something indeed.
Yeah.
But even that is the more immediate problem is that you could see some senators charged with some felonies and some members of the House charged with some felonies. Yeah? Yeah. It was kind of interesting that Liz Cheney, by the way, still not any kind of patriot or humanitarian, but she's playing a cute little game because, among other things, that Liz has said that Kevers McCarthy should testify to the 1-6 Commission, the January 6th Commission, and has said Kevin McCarthy will never be the Speaker of the House. Now, just by itself, that sounds like it means something. Kind of hard to say. Kyle, addressing the issue of the January 6th Commission, says, "I'm actually somewhat glad there's going to be no January 6th Commission because the Republicans would have ended up just trying to issue subpoenas for information on Fast and Furious, Benghazi, Obama's tan suit, Mustard Gate, Antifa and BLM, Hunter Biden's laptop, and Hucky Puck warning. But her emails!" Absolutely truth. Adding, Kyle does, "I'm glad I'm not the only one who didn't like the idea of the January 6th Commission because of how the 9/11 Commission was handled, and knowing this one would somehow be a bigger shit show. We need a special prosecutor for the attempted overthrow of the fucking government." And meanwhile, Kyle said, "I was looking forward to a good steak dinner tonight, but your comment about Kevin McCarthy's liquid bowels ruined that." And yes, Kyle,
Mitch McTurtle actually said, under the hood. Yeah, that's another one of those pieces of audio where we should pull the thing and just put it in permanent rotation. Under the hood. Yeah. God, why did I mention Handshot first? And by the way, going back to Mate 1 for a minute, if you have never seen the magnificent film Mate 1 by John Sayles from, 1987, 1988, do yourself a favor. Rent it. Watch it. This would be the perfect day to do it. And you may find yourself going, dang, I want to own that. Because it's a hell of a good movie. With great performances from people who would go on, like Chris Cooper, who would go on to magnificent acting careers. And great lines. Kevin Tye is one of the heavies in it. One of the heels. He plays a Baldwin thug. And he utters a line that has become just a thing that happens in this when we're in this family, when we're ready to go somewhere or ready to leave somewhere. I'll look at Agnes or I'll look at Ferg and the rest of the family knows it too. And Kevin Tye is so evil in it. I mean, he's so fucking nasty. He kind of makes Darth Vader look like a, choir boy. But at one point he looks at his partner, whose name is Griggs. And he says, let's roll, Griggsy. The sooner we get out of this shithole, the better. And so it gets shortened in our family here to me just looking at Agnes or Ferg or whomever. Let's roll, Greasy. And they all know the sooner we get out of... Long before Nitwit Nero was...
Well, it's just those shithole countries in Africa.
Mm-mm. My earliest memory of a reference to somewhere being a shithole was to West Virginia. And Kevin Tye, fantastic actor. Went on to act for John Sayles again in the movie about the Black Sox scandal, the 1919 Chicago White Sox, called Eight Men Out, which also had other people from Mate 1 in it. But it's a great line. Let's roll, Griggsy. The sooner we get out of this shithole, the better. Because, see, the Baldwin thugs hated West Virginia because it was violent and dangerous and... Well, everybody hated them back. Rent it. Watch it. Maybe own it. You doctor. And the accents are pitch perfect. And Elaine Perkey singing Deliver Us from the Gathering Storm. When she cuts loose with that at the funeral for the little boy that the coal thug slit his throat. No spoilers. That will make the little tiny hairs stand up on the back of your neck. It's even worth taking a run at. Let's see. I think I have. Soundtrack on file. But it 100 years ago today. How about that? No? Could have sworn I had it. Makes me wonder. Don't play a lot of music on the program anymore. I like to, though. The dialogue is crisp and... Oh, not Elaine. Elaine Perk. No, it was... Why did I say Elaine Perk? Hazel Dickens. I'm so sorry about that error. Let me see if I can bring the audio up. Yeah, we're still talking there. Danny's talking. Yeah, here we go.
From the gathering, unworthy though we are, leave us living safe and sheltered in your arms.
Whew. And sorry that that was just one channel, but damn. Great movie. Steve is, I guess, feeling a little curmudgeonly. January 6th Commission. Why don't Democrats have Benghazi-sized cojones? Just have fucking hearings, but I repeat myself. Well, this is an attempt to put together something that would encompass the full Congress. And so it's going to require 60 votes in the Senate, too. And Mitch McConnell has made clear that he will not let that happen because the 1.4 million human beings who, well, okay, the 1.4 million voters who may or may not have actually, you know, ESNS machines and all of that, who may have sent Mitch McConnell back to the Senate, well, they run the country because of the way the Constitution sets up the Senate to provide that 18% of the voters of this country can tell 82% of the rest of the country what to do. And so it actually doesn't have anything to do with cojones. Yeah. Flavio says, I agree. A special prosecutor, a bipartisan commission, there's no, as in not any, good faith on that side. Who would appoint the special prosecutor, though? Merrick Garland would. Silent R. Lamar says, sorry for last night, it was poor radio. Don't apologize, it wasn't. I had to end the program on time because of obligations that I had. Don't worry about it at all, but thank you, Silent R. Silent R just got us down to, 760? Did I say? But we're knocking it down, and Kyle took a bite out of it as well. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you so much, and thank you, Silent R. No, patch cord's fine. That makes me wonder, though. I heard it. So maybe it was just too low and didn't come through. That worries me, though. But anyway, your thoughts on the idea of a January 6th committee. I want to find out. And I think it would be nice to find out in public hearings just exactly how far, how broad, how high, how deep the level of conspiracy against the government of the United States went in the Republican Party. I've said for ages that they are a party of traitors, mainly because they despise the idea of constitutional governance and only use those portions of the Constitution which benefit them in their efforts to keep good governance from happening. Since, coincidentally and fortuitously, Joey and Giraffe brought up Matewan, it's worth remembering the decade that would follow. A decade of nothing but Republican rule. Republican majorities, Republican presidents. And it wound up ruining the lives and killing even countless Americans. When the predatory ways of the Republicans resulted in, the Great Depression. And that ruin comes down historically in memories passed to me in my family, because it forever changed the family dynamic for both sides of my family. But it absolutely ruined one grandfather, and it didn't just ruin him for a while. It wrecked him for the rest of his days, and he died young. He was only 66 years old when he died in 1960, before I could ever meet him. See, there's a recommendation from Flavio. I saw Mate One, a tour de force. I actually first saw clips from it in the documentary Plutocracy, which dealt with the history of political repression in the United States. That documentary was fantastic. It is narrated by the same person who narrated The Corporation. I don't think I saw Plutocracy. Steve disagrees. They held a million Benghazi hearings. We need to do the same regarding the insurrection. Well, the House can do that. But the Benghazi hearings were done on a partisan basis, and they were done inside a standing committee. And what's his name? Trey Gowdy, the dude that looks like he's an escapee from Madame Tussauds, where they've turned the air conditioner off and the wax begins to sweat. And it was understood to be bullshit because it was so thoroughly partisan. The idea here is to get at something actually resembling the facts. And you might recall it was Kevin McCarthy who actually gave up the game when he said, well, this has nothing to do with Benghazi. This has everything to do with trying to stop Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. And to that degree, they succeeded beyond their wildest dreams. Steve in New York says, you haven't replaced the dispensople or the flageolet in a while, have you? My understanding is that Superbeats teamed up with Bygold Now and the Pillow Man to manufacture a plant-based, organic, free-range, non-GMO replacement for them. Yeah, I think I'm just going to leave my old OEM flageolet and dispensople in place. Oh, I love that film. Our pal George says, if you get a chance, try to listen to a brief scene from Executive Action. In it, Robert Ryan is explaining to Burt Lancaster why killing President Kennedy was necessary and how they can go on to reduce excess populations the world over, hence Vietnam. The very best film made about a possible conspiracy to kill JFK. It's chilling. I remember that film well, and it's an awesome film. And I remember it because I actually, as a child, I saw that in the theater with one of my three big sisters. And even at my age, I understand that was some dirty damn business. Excess populations. Doesn't that phrase also exist in Dickens's A Christmas Carol? Somebody will have to check me on that. Just moving on through the news of the day. I'm woefully. Well, I've said it so many times. There's no right way to talk about Israel and Palestine. But this is one of those messaging or how things get described. I'm looking at a headline. Video shows pro-Palestinian group attacking Jewish diners outside Los Angeles restaurant. A sickening prospect, to say the very least. So I scrolled. This is from a this is from a report originally from KTLA Channel 5. And they say that the fight reportedly occurred about 10 p.m. Yesterday evening, Tuesday, the 18th of May, outside of a sushi restaurant in downtown L.A. A witness told KTLA she was sitting with a group of friends when a caravan of cars displaying Palestinian flags drove by and began shouting at diners, adding that at some point members of the caravan jumped out and questioned people if they were Jewish. When two men replied that they were, fighting broke out. Responding to the event, Los Angeles City Councilman Paul Koretz said, "We're not going to bring the conflict from the Middle East here and allow people to be attacked on our streets because of what they look like and what they appear ethnically." And I agree. We should not let that madness spill over into our country. But, of course, and this is where the analysis gets really murky, I'm not sure that they're getting this right. Because what you have is a bunch of people, at least one of whom is looking, let me put it this way, looking every bit as chunky, pudgy, as one of the members of the Boogaloo Insurrection Tactical Command Headquarters staff. Remember what Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters stands spells. And they are typically your Boogaloo boys, your Proud Boys, your Free Percenters, your Oath Keepers. A chicken shit lot, and especially when it comes to the Proud Boys and the Boogaloo Boys, they have a history of pretending to be people that they are not, in order to try to cast blame toward others. They also, the Boogaloo Boys and the Proud Boys, they also have a stated antipathy toward Jewish people. And so when you roll the video, things are not as clear as what they were made out to be. I'm not saying that there might not be people who are willing to attack people for what they appear to be or say they are in the name of this tormented, miserable conflict. But the first time I read this story, and I reread it, and all my journalism spidey sense just tingled all over the place. So you got cars driving by a street in downtown L.A. You hear the honking horns. A guy with a bullhorn, okay? And I got a pretty decent-sized monitor. And the guys in the video standing up in what appears to be like a Jeep or something with an open top, you hollering anti-Israel stuff. He sounds... Well, I mean, you heard it a second ago. I'll run it again without interrupting. Now, the guys in what appears to be a Jeep or something else like that, one of them's big and fat, not fat shaming here, this is merely a description, and they've got really poorly done headgear. I don't think any self-respecting Palestinian man would go out in public with his headgear looking like that. And a huge Palestinian flag, the red, white, and green. But did you hear the way that they were talking? And again, they brought up and you fuck you. Like I said, this just made my little journalism spidey sense tingle like crazy. You remember the guy who egged on protesters in Minneapolis to and started by bashing in the windows of, what was it, an AutoZone that we later found out was a right-wing agent provocateur? Now, I'm in no wise defending the behavior here. It's shitty. It sucks. But to definitively say that this was Palestinians, no. I mean, unless somebody got arrested and we know what his name was, and I'm pretty sure that there aren't any Palestinians in the Proud Boys, this just doesn't add up. This makes exactly zero sense. So, you know, they... And then there's another car. And some more assholes. Who, again, don't look like anything I've ever seen that looks like what a Palestinian guy looks like. And again, this was last night. And then there's another view from street level of people engaging in street brawling. And remember, the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command headquarters are notorious for starting spontaneous street brawls. This looks an awful lot like that. You know, cut off black pants just below the knees. These guys look so Proud Boy, it's not even funny. I can't necessarily say that they're Boogaloo because they're not wearing their Hawaiian shirts. But wow. It just doesn't add up, and just...
Robin, stop telling us what to watch out for in the for-profit media.
See if this makes the news, and see if everybody just roundly reports that it's supporters of it's Palestinian supporters. Because I don't think that based on the information I've been able to look at with the KTLA stuff and whatnot, I don't think it supports the claim. Does that make sense? I don't. And for some reason or another, I'm having a hard time getting the... Okay, let's see if we can... One of the people who was punched out on the sidewalk was hospitalized. I mean, it's chaotic, the video. But, and again, if I'm saying something wrong, tell me. But when I see a guy in homemade cut-off pants whose legs are whiter than mine, I'm guessing that guy's not a Palestinian. But trying to generate press coverage that supporters of Palestine are just randomly attacking diners on the street in L.A., that's right up their alley. That's straight out of their playbook.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Guys, leave it later.
I mean, what you're hearing there are punches being landed.
Guys, it's not working. Come on, guys. Don't look like this.
And then they run off. And I tell you, if those guys are Palestinians, I am the lost heir of the Romanov Empire. And it kind of makes sense that it would be Proud Boys or Boogaloos, because they are among the real anti-Semites in this country. Remember when they marched in Charlottesville in August of 2017? Remember when they killed Heather Heyer? Remember when they chanted, "Jews will not replace us"? And what better opportunity than to use the current conflict in the occupied territories to advance their own agenda and have tormented, oppressed people to hide behind. I mean, go and look at it for yourself. It's at KTLA.com. Attack on Jewish diners by members of pro-Palestinian caravan in Beverly Grove investigated as possible hate crime. And when you read it, you'll find out that there is nothing to suggest that these were actual supporters of Palestine. Boy, I tell you what, the for-profit media just ate it lock, stock, and swallowed it whole. And for people who live in L.A., it happened right outside Sushi Fumi in the 300 blocks of block of North La... Oh, God damn it, I'm going to get it wrong. Senega? Sianic? No, I'm sure it's got a local pronunciation, and I've screwed it up in the past. Video shows punches and items being thrown between a large group of men on a sidewalk as customers looked on. But the thing is, you can go all the way to the bottom, and although the headline says Palestinian, pro-Palestinian caravan, there is not a shred of information that says that that's who these thugs were. I'm not defending the thuggery. I'm saying that it looks like a classic tactic right out of the Boogaloo and Proud Boys playbook. Who, of course, support Republicans and Trump. And it's worth noting that the House of Representatives is trying to pass legislation condemning anti-Asian hate. And, of course, the vast majority of the Republican caucus in the House voted no. On agreeing to the resolution, Democrats, yay, 214. Five not voting. Yay, Republicans, 30. Nay, 180. The resolution passed by 244 to 180, but out of 211 members in the on the Republican side of the House, 180 voted not to condemn the anti-Asian hate that motivated the March 16th massacre at the spas, the massage parlors, in the Atlanta area. The resolution was fairly anodyne. It said the people of the United States mourn the 8 innocent lives lost, 7 of whom were women, 6 of whom were women of Asian descent, and several of whom were immigrants. Xiao Ji, Emily Tan, Dao Yu Feng, Delana Ashley Yuan, Paul Andre Michaels, Yang A. Yu, Sun Chung, Julie Park, Hyun Jung Grant, and Sun Cha Kim. And then there are some details. One of them says 63-year-old Young A.U. is a mother of two sons who was known for her kindness and generosity and her love of her pet Shih Tzu. And the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian Republicans could not find it in themselves to vote aye on the resolution. Not a single Democrat voted against it. But from the grand QAnon party, 180 out of 211. And it all goes hand in hand with the notion of right-wing grief. We've had another Joe Rogaine sighting. He was doing his thing over on Spotify when he declared, and this is not a joke, he said, can you make a good comedy movie anymore? Or they made it so dangerous in terms of being canceled that comedy movies are no longer something you can do. You can never be woke enough. That's the problem. It keeps going. It keeps going further and further and further down the line. And if you get to the point where you capitulate, where you agree to all these demands, it'll eventually get to straight white men are not allowed to talk. Now, just a note here. Joe Rogaine is claiming that straight white men are not allowed to talk. And yet Spotify paid him $100 million to be a straight white man who talks. Because it's your privilege to express yourself when other people of color have been silenced throughout history. I'm not joking. It really will get there. It's that crazy. And 11 million people heard him say it. And a bunch of the pasty-faced, doughy white guys who listen to him and can't get laid are going, yep, my done been canceled, I can't talk. Which they, of course, said, by talking. Go figure. That's some privilege. Okay, La Cienega. Thank you, Fabio. La Cienega. Thank you. That's how Tom Waits pronounces it. The street where the attack happened. Your queasy gizzard is justified, Steve in New York says. I did a search, as you will see. Take a look at three of the four sites that come up as sources for it. COL Live is a news service of the world of the Chabad-Lubavitch movement. This is an ultra-Orthodox religious movement. My point here is these are all right-wing, very pro-Israel groups. Police investigating possible hate crime after pro-Palestinian yada. Video, Jewish man attacked by alleged pro-Palestinian mob. Jewish man attacked by alleged pro-Palestinian mob. Mob of pro-Palestinian thugs. Ask L.A. diners if any of them are Jews. And if you're Jewish, that's got to be terrifying. It's really more a matter of it doesn't matter who's doing that. There's a vibe that says Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ, but not again. And it reinforces the idea that it's not going to ever end. But I think we owe it to ourselves and to some idea of journalistic integrity on the part of these outfits to make some effort at identifying the people as Palestinian. You know, just because is the idea of an agent provocateur? Do they hate? All I can say is my spidey sense went, what the fuck? Because if I see something in a headline, because I was a trained journalist, If I see something in a headline, I want to find reference to it in the body of the piece. And it isn't there. I mean, if the police had arrested a guy with a, I hate to put it this way, Middle Eastern sounding name, there might be some credible reason for making the claim in the headline or any kind of identification. But a bunch of burly, brawling, fat white guys show up with a Palestinian flag and poorly tied headgear on their heads, and suddenly they're pro-Palestinian because they're hollering anti-Semitic horse shit that they've been hollering for at least 5 fucking years? Whoa, no. Oh, no, I was born at night, not last night. Ha 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 ha, gotcha, says Steve in New York. Joe Rogan is the opposite of a straight white man. He's a crooked white man. Flavio noting, Pink Shrek is complaining on a full stomach, as we say in Portuguese. Yeah. As we say here in the hills, he'd piss and moan with a loaf of bread under both arms. Jeremy in Vermont noting, Joe Rogrone also claimed that week that it turns out Alex Jones was correct about barcodes in the COVID vaccines after all, while interviewing Anthony Cumbia. And the sources, the hollering pro-Palestinian, they were The Blaze, CallLive.com, and The Washington Examiner. 2 out of 3 are just garden variety, maggot-infested, right-wing shit pits. And Call Live is an Israel Uberalla's hardcore right-wing ultra-Orthodox publication. I have a feeling, and this is a big part of the problem, I have a feeling that there are genocidal impulses that are floating all around, and nobody has the market cornered. Jews will not replace us? Really? What 12-year-old cub reporter reported that shit for KTLA. It's not that hard to include sufficient language to make it clear that this might or might not have been what it was held out to the public to be. But it does require, you know, an effort. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for jumping in. We are moving ever southward toward $700. That would be fantastic. Thank you. What's that, Brother Deacon Asa? Regarding Spotify, paid him $100 million to be a straight white man who talks. That's mighty presumptuous of you, Kincaid. How do you know Joe Rogan is straight? He's never come out as straight, has he? No, he hasn't. And to use the language homophobes. He has never told us when he chose to be straight. I don't understand. I do not. What? Is it just because he brings 11 million people that Spotify think, well, yeah, I don't care what he talks about. I mean, yeah. He's not crossing any of our lines. We're still selling the ads. Checks keep clearing. Pay him again. Best I got. Hey, Scott, are you there? Oh, Scott.
Sorry, I upgraded my phone recently and I'm still getting used to the configuration of the buttons.
No worries. I just wanted to make sure that you were coming. I'm watching the meters to make sure, because there was an issue with me playing Hazel Dickens there.
Esting. Microphone irking. Hear me okay?
It irking L.
All right. Well,
you know, it's a shitty thing to do to a radio audience doing that.
I know. I might be able to clear it up for you, this incident on La Cienega.
Thank you.
I've got a question.
Okay.
And I've been sitting here listening, and maybe my mind wandered or something, and I missed the beginning of the story. This was outside a sushi restaurant on La Cienega in Los Angeles, right?
Last night.
Last night. And
about 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
Was there any sort of protest going on?
No.
At the establishment?
No. Just people sitting down eating their sushi.
Drive-by stupidity, then, is what the deal was.
Yes.
Okay. All right. By the way...
You know, you heard them just a honking and a blaring on their horns and hollering, Jews kill children, which is a repetition of the ancient filthy blood libel.
Okay, so there was no instigation. We know two things. There was no instigation, and we also know it did not come out of the blue, so to speak. Are we agreed on that pretty much?
It appears comes out of nowhere.
Okay.
People are just sitting there, you know, stirring their wasabi into their soy sauce and dipping their California rolls. Oh my God! And then a Jeep with some really fat guys they're in danger of radiation poisoning from the refrigerator bulb, just like me. I'm not saying there can't be pale Palestinians, but for instance, me, even before the whole transition coming out thing, you could see, and you would never, ever, ever suspect me of being Palestinian, Pakistani, Egyptian.
Native American?
No, not native. You know, it's the old classic thing where, well, you know, I think I might have some Native American in me. I just can't prove it. That's why my buddy Matt Sherman, who is Native American, and does magnificent work on things like sobriety and recovery in the federal prison system among the indigenous population of the prisons. When he introduces himself, sometimes he'll say, "Hi, I'm Matt. I'm an Indian. I got some white in me, but I can't prove it." Because white folks, yeah, you know what? I got some Indian in me. I just can't prove it. I think it's turkey.
Beef jerky?
Yeah, turkey.
Mm-hmm. I may be able to clear up the incident.
Yeah, please do. I didn't mean to take you off track.
No, that's all right. That's all right. And the clue, the big clue was La Cienega, believe it or not. Because according to...
All right, tell us about it, Marlo.
According to Los Angeles Magazine...
Yes?
The boulevard we know as La Cienega, which in Spanish means the swamp, and it's because long before the street became home to Restaurant Row or the Beverly Center, it was marshland. So it has to be a Trump operation. Didn't he say he wanted to drain the swamp?
You know, that's well played. And I mean, that's real depth. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. Well, even if none of that were true, or none of that was true, or were true, it was drive-by stupidity, or drive-by hatred, or drive-by both.
But, okay, so work with me here for a second, please.
Okay, I always do.
I know. I'm just saying. Not saying. And by the way, Matt in San Francisco with a note, subject line, Palestine protest. I've been to more Free Palestine protests than I can count. I've never seen or heard anything resembling that mess. Over time, Matt says, and I concur, I'm sure they will be discovered to be white nationalist Trumpers. And see, that's why all the bells and whistles went off for me. I was like, does seem that, I mean, those are the dudes who, those are like, they look just like the dudes who brawl in Brooklyn or beat the shit out of somebody outside the conservative club in Manhattan.
And didn't you say they had a rather interesting form of head covering?
Well, I don't have the language for it. Is it keffiyeh? The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department can sort that one out for me, please. But putting one of those on one's noggin is a process that one does with respect. I mean, if you are an Orthodox observant Jew, you don't put your kippah on at a jaunty little angle, okay?
With a feather in it. You just don't do that.
I mean, it no. And
it's,
if and the, and,
it's
and
not
if you
an alpine
and if you
hat, damn it.
It is not. There's and it's not no. And it doesn't go well with your lederhosen.
We're not German, we are Swiss. We will now yodel.
But and so this headgear was slapdash and haphazard. And it looked like they may have just bought a checkered tablecloth and cut it into pieces.
Well, that's where I was going with this. A slur that you don't hear a lot these days, but it was common 20, 40 years ago during the oil embargo.
You know, you don't have to say it. It's hurtful to people who may be of that extraction.
Yeah, I know.
And
but
so,
when you go to the beach, you put something down on the sand to recline upon.
Yes, and yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm trying to be better about things like that.
I know, but it seems to me that this was their idea of, well, we must disguise ourselves as Middle Easterners, preferably of the Palestinian
right, and they got it, and they got a, and their Palestinian flag was so damn big that it dragged the ground, even though they were standing up in their Jeep.
Well, he probably swiped it from a consulate or an embassy or
something.
Well,
it's L.A. There's probably a flag store.
Well, yeah, just flags. Like the old Letterman bit, just bulbs.
Right, exactly. Tape anyway. Are us.
Yeah, but see, this is, you know, and I wasn't half kidding when I said, you know, it was a Trump operation. It's...
Well, the Proud Boys and the Boogaloos and the incels are all Trump
on
people.
The front burner and needs to be talked about. Well, when there's important stuff which needs to be talked about, acted upon, or given serious consideration and should be on the front burner, the media, for reasons unknown to me, and the right wing, for reasons that we all know well, will do their utmost to change the subject. The other night on 60 Minutes, it was the fucking video of the UFOs.
Oh, God, I have not touched that, and I hope not to.
Well, I won't even go there, but what I'm saying is, with so many important things to talk about, you know, incidents like this, which I hadn't heard of until I heard you mention it. I don't recall seeing it on the local news here. You know, we do, the station I watch for news, local news, is an NBC-owned and operated station. And KNBC in Los Angeles is also an NBC-owned and operated station. You would think. And they do share footage between the two stations. That's rather commonplace. But what I'm saying is, and it's just like these Republicans in Congress, McCarthy and McConnell. They, with this fucking commission, and I'm not a great fan of commissions for reasons that you pointed out with 9/11 commission and going back further, the fucking Warren Commission. Don't get me started. You know, I'm not really a big fan of commissions when it comes right down to it. But they're not even willing to give even a slapdash, half-assed. I mean, kudos to the fucking Warren Commission. At least they had the guts to put a couple of big tables together and sit around the tables and bullshit one another and come out with an 888-page report, which was loaded with lies. You know? The Republicans are not even willing to give a mock exercise.
Well, yeah, we can talk about it in terms of willingness, but I think it's more accurately described, Scott, in terms of they're too scared. You know, the Warren Report, nothing was going to come out that could possibly implicate Earl Warren.
Well, they had their conclusion before they sat down on that deal. What I'm saying is, it was 4 months ago, for fuck's sake. The Republicans are not even willing to investigate what happened on their own fucking turf. Now, in the immediate aftermath, McConnell made a big statement, and McCarthy made a big statement. What's the opposite of taking leave of your senses? They actually did a sensible thing in the immediate aftermath. But then it was like ixnay on the, you know, on the right thing, eh? And you're right, it's out of fear. And what are they afraid of? Trump at this point, with all of the legal problems hanging over him, he has less credibility than Professor Marvel, the man behind the curtain at the end of the fucking Wizard of Oz. They're hitching their wagon to the wrong star. And kudos to Trump for being such a good liar. I mean, he probably even lies in his sleep. You know? For being such a good liar that he can convince these lily-livered twerps that he holds any sway over their future. I know I'm all over the place here with this, but it just, I was sitting watching it today, you know, and they're going to vote. And I have no idea how it's going to go. But you would think that they'd want to cover their own asses and protect their own turf. But they don't even have the fucking
again, they know that they don't. They know that Mitch McConnell's going to protect them, and so the House doesn't want anything. I mean, there can be investigations in the House, but if you want something that will provide answers to a national problem, the fact that it's not going to get through the Senate tells me that I am right that we need a special prosecutor.
Well, that was my next question. What is the alternative? If the Congress as a body is not going to do the right thing, then what is our plan B?
Yeah.
Because you can't just.
Well, I mean, my idea of a plan B is a special prosecutor. And you know, maybe somebody, and I'm just speculating here, and of course I'm, you know. I'm just a simple country girl. Stop.
Stand up in front of the camera. I want to see that gingham dress, girl.
Well, there's a picture from yesterday on Facebook if you want to see it.
Oh, I saw that, but it didn't show the dress.
Well,
I saw the fringe of a potato sack, if you want to get right there. Or was that a flour sack?
That's a flour sack. Tater sacks is made of burlap, and they itch like hell.
Oh, especially in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and, mercy.
Yeah. Most of the time, I just run around in one of the mesh onion bags.
So the peekaboo. The peekaboo look.
It's more boo than peek, trust me.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
But where the hell were we? Maybe it would be beneficial for somebody to whisper to maybe Kevers and Mitch the Chinless. Listen, okay, y'all don't want to have a congressional commission. That's cool. We can just have a special prosecutor and give him a real broad brief and, you know, maybe we'll just, you know, just let him subpoena some people, you know, oath. And
because
y'all might get away with not having to testify under oath in a congressional commission. We done did that for W, remember?
Yeah, because a special prosecutor originates in the executive branch. That is to say, the Justice Department. Am I correct on that?
Yes. And by the way, Steve in New York says, oh, dear, dear Scott, it's not about fear. They're not afraid of Trump. Trump is the proverbial philosopher's stone to turn any fundraising into gold. But make no mistake, you know, I do my stupid Trump voice, and we giggle a little bit, and we laugh, and we carry on. But he's dangerous. And he's still dangerous. And he's still trying to foment revolution in this country. And I don't say that lightly.
No, and I don't disagree with you. And he does have minions in office and out of office. I get that. But, you know, the Democrats and some Republicans who've got any goddamn sense are going to need to take a stand. And I know it's a dangerous thing, apparently, in this world to take a stand for something righteous and decent and reality-based. And maybe, I don't know, maybe some of us are out of practice. I don't know. But they're out of power. How can they have the upper hand when they're out of power?
Because they utilize the minoritarian tools in the Constitution that were not supposed to create minority rule, but they have twisted them in such a way that they can.
And what pisses me off about this,
which, by the way, is why they don't want the 1619 Project taught. They don't want critical race theory taught, because they don't want actual history taught. And God knows they don't want anybody explaining that virtually everything in the Constitution is touched by the white supremacy that motivated the foundation of this government.
Well, that too. But as they were in negotiations about how to conduct this in the run-up to today's developments, we gave them everything they wanted, foolishly assuming that they were going to follow through. They don't even negotiate in good faith. You know, first there was supposed to be 7 Democrats and 4 Republicans, and they talked us to an even Steven, split on who was going to be on the fucking panel.
Yeah.
Was that so that there would be a panel? No, no, no. That was to give us something to do to waste our time. You know, you extend the right hand of fellowship to these fools, and you
draw back a bloody stump.
Mm-hmm. Bingo.
Hey, Scott, I hate to break in because you're really bringing your A game, but I knew when I started the program this evening I was going to have to end early because I am attending a meeting this evening. I'm trying to follow my promise to myself and others that I would not be that well, that I'd try to continue to be a better person. So I have a meeting,
a better person meeting.
Well, yes, it is. It's my first meeting as a member of the LGBTQIA+ community. Mm-hmm. And I have to attend that this evening. So I have to get going. And I hope people will forgive me, but I got to roll.
All righty.
But I thank you. I thank you for all of your input. And let's do talk soon, okay?
All righty.
All right. Thanks.
Have a nice meeting.
Later.
See ya.
Bye. Yeah, I'm trying to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. And so I'm going to wrap up. And I thank you very kindly for jumping in on this prayer meeting Wednesday that didn't have much prayer meeting in it. And thank you to everyone who jumped in to help with fundraising. We will start tomorrow, I think, at around 1,020 for a fundraising goal.
that'll take in, well, we're almost done with Monday. Thanks to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much this evening and every evening. Thanks to everyone who shares their precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to Brother Bishop Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 6 p.m. Pacific. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, get your vaccine. Wear your mask if you feel like you need to wear your mask. It's a good idea among the unvaccinated, and there's a lot of them. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance as necessary. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes at you and says, "Hi, I'm from KTLA TV5 in Los Angeles. Did you see them Palestinians over there? You know, the ones that sounded like they were from New Jersey and were paler than somebody who lives above the Arctic Circle in Sweden?" Yeah, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Back with a full program tomorrow. Later.